We have another surprise special guest in the neighborhood today. Now, this is a student here at the University of Northern Colorado. And I call, have you noticed over the past couple of weeks, I've started calling it Colorado instead of Colorado. I finally, as someone who comes from New York, and it took me a long time, but it is an A rather than an O, so isn't it Ra, yeah, so it should be ra rather than ah. This person across from me is nodding because he is, I think, originally from Parker, Colorado. His name is Trevor Oakley, or do you also use the your middle name there?
Well, it's Oakeson.
Yeah, I got that completely.
It happens all the time.
Yeah.
It's Trevor Oakeson. I don't really use my middle name. Trevor Oakeson.
Hello.
On my Facebook page, but that's fine. But yeah, it is Colorado. I get people on that all the time.
Colorado.
I really grew up in Las Vegas, and so everyone's saying Colorado, and all that stuff. But Colorado.
What was living in Las Vegas like when you were a kid? Got to be boring when you were a kid, isn't it?
When I was 12, I moved out there, and when we were looking at houses, we went. Me and my family went to the Strip, and we went to M&M World, Coca-Cola World, more the PG-13.
Wait, there's
places.
An M&M World?
Absolutely.
When did that come? I never went to M&M World.
It's been there as long as I remember.
Well, I mean, I've only been to Vegas once, but
it's like three stories, all the merch, all the candy, the M&Ms that you could want. And then right next to it, there's Coca-Cola World, and then right across the street, they just opened up a Hershey World. So they got all the PG-13 places.
See, now, I would go back to Vegas for this.
Oh, yeah. And back when I was 12, there wasn't a lot of things to do for, kids. You had the Adventure Dome, but now it's like the second highest place you're likely to get stabbed now in Vegas. That's for sure. It's a just a little adventure park. It's got roller coasters, all this stuff, but it's gotten a little shady in the recent years. But now, I mean, they've opened up T-Mobile Stadium. There's a little nice courtyard by the stadium.
Wait a minute, T-Mobile for what team?
Hockey. Las Vegas Golden Knights. Inaugural season this year.
Wait a minute. Okay. Of all the sports that you would put into a place that's 110 degrees in the middle of February, they don't think, baseball, maybe enough sunscreen, you can do baseball, a domed football stadium. No.
Hockey. I was confused at first. It became a big movement. And I'll tell you what, this year, watching the games, going to some of the games, those are some hardcore fans, and it's only the first year.
Yeah.
Because they don't have a major sports team there.
Yeah, but by the third period, the players are actually drowning. you just see their fingers.
It does get a little interesting.
Yeah.
After a while, that's for sure.
Do they have curling there? Because if they have a hockey rink, maybe they'll have curling.
It could become a thing.
I do love my curling. Have you been watching? Have you been watching the Olympics?
Off and on. This is the first year where I haven't really been actively following it.
Cool. Well, you're a sports guy. Did you play football or something?
Yeah, I played a year, my last year of high school. It was high school football.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A concussion, or are you okay?
No, I'm all right.
Good.
I have had a concussion, but it's unrelated to football.
How'd you get a concussion?
Oh man, I was a kid, and I was waiting at the bus stop, and I was a dumb kid, and I decided to play on the ice, and I slipped, smacked my head on the ice, walked back up the hill to my mom. She looked at me, said, "You're fine." I went to school, and I walked in the door, and the principal said, "We come here a sec." And my mom describes it as the Looney Tune bumps. In Looney Tunes, they smack the head, and it just, And they sent me home, went to the doctor. He's like, "Yeah, you have a concussion."
Wow.
Yeah.
So you'll die young, but then you have to make your. But you know, this is the thing. He's so busy, and so involved in so many things because you work a part-time job for 20 hours a week. We don't have to say where, but and you're taking not one, not two, not four, but five courses here at UNC.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you're playing instruments, so you got to practice.
Yep.
Is that or any of your courses musical? Are you in? Well,
I'm taking a history of rock and roll class.
How is that?
It's a lot of fun. I really like it, especially since I'm a music guy. I love all types of music, and I just appreciate the stories and the messages and the music. It's great. He'll sit, tell us about the Beatles for a little bit. We'll listen to some Beatles or some
I could teach
Little
that
Richard
class.
And some, all this stuff.
So, it's in person. It's not an online class.
No, it's in Missioner Library, the auditorium that they have there.
And so he'll lecture a little bit, and then when he sees people getting antsy, he's like, now let's listen to some rock and roll.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So do you write paper? I mean, what's the homework?
We have assignments due every week where we read some documents. We had, you know, some about this week we're doing the Beatles lyrics, you know, analyzing some of the Beatles lyrics, kind of getting into the meaning and digging into some of their later stuff before.
She Loves You. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's so heavy. I want you. Well, of course you want her because she's so heavy. You're a fat girl. Mm-hmm. No, there's meaning. There's depth.
Yeah.
I'm doing the old Steve Allen thing here. Yeah. I realize, but yeah.
Well, no, I think it's one of my favorite classes this semester.
Well, sure, of course, absolutely. History of rock and roll.
It has to be, but yeah. I mean, I've wanted to take some. The only unfortunate thing is I've wanted to take some, you know, piano courses, and because I've only really just gotten into it the past couple of years, and but you have to be a music major and minor to take any sort of those music classes.
Are you up to it? Are you good enough on piano to?
I feel like I could. I mean, there's some classes where they're starting you out, you know, basics.
Yeah.
Which I feel like I would do well enough. I've been doing it for about a year now.
Well, you just started taking piano lessons a year ago?
Well, I'm not taking any piano lessons. I'm really just teaching myself, doing some online tutorials and kind of applying my music theory knowledge to just kind of learning myself. That's how I took one guitar class when I was my junior year of high school.
Yeah.
And that really just kind of kicked it off. I mean, I played saxophone and percussion when I was like way, way back in fifth grade when it was, you know, you were still just doing band. And then, you know, I really just did singing from there on. Then I picked up a guitar and I was like, this is fun. And then I bought an electric and I played that for a while. And then I picked up a ukulele. I was like, this is a lot of fun.
Ukulele! Oh, I would have asked you to bring it. You should have brought your ukulele. I
should have.
Oh, you could've. Didn't, though. You did not bring your
ukulele. I did not.
Damn it.
Yeah, it's my apartment.
So, but are you a music major?
No.
You're a what then?
I'm a communication studies and then a history minor.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you have any... See, one of the reasons that Trevor is here is he's asking questions and sussing about of this radio station, UNC Student Radio, of perhaps getting involved and taking the time to really help get our board back in shape and then beg the folks in the council and the clubs to say, hey, we're a university of 13,000 students, there, give or take. Be nice if there was a radio station. I mean, there's colleges of 3,000 people that have radio stations. There's high schools, junior high schools, and even elementary schools that have little TV stations and radio stations. How in the world did we let things come to this at this university that a radio station might get killed? And we've had a TV station that's been non-operational for... Well, we have a signal. We have a TV channel, not really a station, that we have on our local cable system, and it's been defunct for 5 years. Not owing to the cable people, as far as I know, but just owing to, like, what do we need it for? Why would a university, what could we possibly do without our own television channel? You're just sitting there in silence, I know, but
Yeah, no, that's why I'm here. I'm excited. I want to get it started, and I really hope that we can get to one day where we have people coming in and doing shows, and I hope I can do a show myself one day.
I was about to grill you and say, because he has very eclectic musical taste, which is really exciting. Mm-hmm. You like jazz and classical and like rock and roll from the 60s to the 90s and the aughts and other stuff. But your show would be what, sports?
I was going to start out doing sports, and that's what I wanted to do this originally. But as I started to think about it more, I would love to do music. Just listen to music, talk about it for a little bit, and just play anything that I could want and have that wide range and introduce some new people to some new music that they may not have listened to beforehand.
Well, I'm talking to Trevor Okeson. I got it right this time, right? Trevor Okeson. So, again, there's nothing official. There's nothing... Technically, this damn station isn't official right now, but if people are interested and want to deal with people like Trevor, okay, and there's two or three more students, and I know there are students listening right now to this radio program here at UNC. If you're interested in being a member of the station, which means being on our board, you have to take a position and show up to a couple or a few meetings and vote on stuff, but it isn't going to take 80 hours of your week. It's not going to take 40 hours of your week. It doesn't have to. You know, we get a couple more people like Trevor who are interested. Now, Trevor might be thinking about programming director, might be thinking about treasurer, might be thinking about one or two other things. We also need other people to do that, people to be venue coordinator, event coordinator, general manager, couple more. And then we can take those people and say, these are committed folks. And if you're in regular, you should be committed. And you know, somebody to serve as a faculty advisor, which we can probably find. I'm an adjunct, so it could possibly be me, but it's unpaid, so there's no real reason for me to do it. But and then go over to the club people and say, hey, don't shut us down so quick. There are actually people who are ready and willing to keep this station going, to be the voice of the students at this university. Were you ever involved, maybe in high school or whatever, in media there?
Yeah, I did. I took two journalism classes, both my junior and senior year of high school. I won an award on an article that I did.
What was it about?
It was a debate, actually. It was two articles that I wrote one and another person wrote one. It was about whether or not vegetarianism is a good lifestyle, just health-based, nothing to do with, you know, animal rights or the philosophy of it, just sure. Purely based on health.
And you won? You won on that? Or
yeah, I would say I would won, but no, we won the award on that article in the district, the Clark County School District. So, and I did photography for a year with them, and then I got more into the writing and the actual journalism before I was just going to football games and basketball games and different things and taking pictures and stuff like that.
Without naming names or something, but how's the journalism program here? What are you learning? What do they teach on communications and journalism here at UNC?
Well, this is my first semester in the communications communication studies department, and right now I'm taking just a basics public speaking class.
Oh, well, you're a good public speaker. You're obviously learning something there.
I have a speech on Monday that I'm giving.
About what?
The history of 21 Pilots.
Of what?
21 Pilots. It's a band.
Oh, okay.
Band. It's a alt rock band. But they're popular. Just won a Grammy about a year ago, actually, almost exactly. And so they're are my favorite band. I've seen them live, and I listen to them a lot.
You want practice?
Practice? Oh, my speech. Oh.
I can turn this around, and you can practice right here. I won't put you on the spot if you don't want to, but I can put you on the spot, and you can give us, how long is your speech?
I haven't practiced it that much yet, but it's about 5 to 6 minutes.
Ooh, can you cut it down to two?
I could do it real quick, yeah.
All right,
I could try and do it real quick.
Do you want to do it?
Yeah, sure,
tell us about 21 Pilots.
Yeah.
I don't know the band. Maybe I can try and find a song of theirs on YouTube to play.
I'm sure. So they're very popular now.
He's a good-looking fella, too, by the way, folks. I'm sorry about that.
No, that's fine.
This in your face.
Move a little bit.
I can swing it. And sorry if this is making people seasick when they're watching at home. On the side of your screen, there you go, a little better. Well, that's Trevor Okeson, ladies and gentlemen. He is a sophomore at UNC,
yep.
And he is in communications. He's going to be giving this speech, part of it, a longer version of this speech about 21 Pilots. Go, Trevor!
All right, so 21 Pilots was created in Columbus, Ohio in 2009. The members are Tyler Joseph, Nick Thomas, and Chris Salee. In about 2009, December 29th, 2009, they released their debut album called 21 Pilots, just self-titled album, and it focused a lot on Tyler Joseph's struggles, his depression, his anxiety, and his faith. And about they toured some clubs in the local area of Columbus, Ohio. And then about 2011, after they had done some clubs, Chris Salee decided that he was going to leave the band, that he didn't think the band was going anywhere, and he had other priorities. He brought in another drummer, Josh Dunn. And a little bit after that, they did some more shows, and then Nick Thomas, the bassist, ended up leaving. So now it was just Tyler Joseph, the singer-songwriter, keyboardist, pianist, and stuff like that, and Josh Dunn of percussion. And they released the album, Regional at Best, July 8th, 2011. And they started playing some bigger shows. They did a release album at New Albany High School and attracted a lot of people for being an unsigned band. And then at the end of their tour, what they did with Regional at Best, they sold out the Newport Musical Hall, which was unheard of for an unsigned band at the time. And they signed a record deal with Fueled at Ramen, which also supports Paramore and Panic at the Disco, other bands. And then that year they released an album called Vessel in 2013 that had six alternate songs that they had on their last album. They remade them and put them out, and that was what got them on the map. They landed 21 on the Billboard's top 200 albums, and their song Holding On To You, I believe, landed on 71 on the Billboard's top 200 for alt rock. And then they toured some shows. They ended up going to Australia and Korea and touring out there. And then in 2014, a Twitter account popped up called Blurryface, and it was confirmed to be a secret Twitter account created by Tyler Joseph, and they were dropping hints at a new album that they were coming out. And in 2015, they dropped the album Blurryface. And this album took off. If you've heard the song Stressed Out, Ride, those are all 21 Pilots. And Stressed Out hit number one on the rock, Billboard Rock Top 100. And the album hit number two on albums. And they've won multiple Billboard awards. And then just last year, they won a Grammy for the best rock pop duo.
Cool. That's Trevor Okeson, obviously an expert in 21 Pilots. What is so I can get this ready to end the segment, but what is your favorite 21 Pilots song and why?
It would probably be Ode to Sleep. And that was on their album Vessel. It was originally on Regional at Best, but they remade it for Vessel. And it's a great song. It changes a lot of tempos. The tempo changes, the music changes. It's real interesting. And it has a little bit of rap in it, which I like. And then the chorus and the message is just great. It talks about how a lot of their songs have a lot of Christian undertones, and he feels doubt and he feels depression because he doesn't want to acknowledge the fact that he is talking about God, because he believes that a lot of people will be turned off by it. But it's what he deals with in his mind, and it's what causes him. It's what his drive is.
Now, let me. I'm getting the sense that you are a religious Christian kind of
yes,
a person.
Yes,
okay.
I am.
How important? I mean, how much of your life does that? Because we want you to devote some time to the radio station, and now I'm getting the feeling you go to church every Sunday.
I haven't gone to church for a while. When I was in Las Vegas, I had a church group that I went to every Sunday, and I was a student leader there for their youth group. And I was actually thinking about becoming a pastor for a little while, and that ended up falling through. But I haven't found a church out here that I can really connect to yet.
Well, there's a synagogue just about half a... You can try it, you know. Got a Mormon place, too. And you know.
It's a big part of my life and what drives me and what, you know, makes me want to be a good person to people. And I feel like it makes me who I am.
Yeah. So let me ask you, do you know, when you think in terms of Parkland, Florida, do you pray for the victims or do you try and do gun control or both?
Well, I definitely do believe in prayer, and I believe that a little bit of God in this country can't hurt us, but I am also on the side of action. And while I wouldn't actually advocate for more gun control, I think that you can look in different areas to make these things less likely to happen.
Like how?
I would say different areas. Think about this.
It's live radio. Go there.
It is, I would say, probably armed guards. There were cops at my high school. They had firearms.
Well, they were there because you were there.
Yeah.
As soon as you graduated, they left.
But no, I believe armed guards, metal detectors. I think you can up the security a lot of these schools. And I do think it is a lot of a culture problem. You know, I believe that a lot of kids aren't shown discipline and they aren't shown consequences for their actions. And there was a story I read that the Columbine shooters, their parents never entered their room. The one of the kids, the mom never entered his room, and when the cops came to search the premises, they opened the door and everything that they had planned out was just laying out in the open. And I believe that it is a lot of fault does fall on these parents.
Okay.
And I will say that with this specific situation, the system did fail. Absolutely,
well,
100%.
The
system
level,
did.
Yeah.
The system did absolutely fail. You know, there were multiple reports that should have popped up the red flags in the current system that we do have that says this person should not own a firearm.
But here's the deal: if I go on YouTube and click on almost anything, mm-hmm. or on any website, be it Fox News, MSNBC, Breitbart, doesn't matter, mm-hmm. and I start reading the comments, I would send cops to the houses of like half the people who are commenting.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just people get mad. They mm-hmm. post weird stuff.
Absolutely. But there's going to be people like that for anything, I believe.
Yeah.
There's always going to be weird people.
Well, you're looking at one.
Absolutely. And there's always going to be people who act on emotion. That's a lot of what people do, and that's a lot of what you see after these things happen is people do call for this gun control. And I'm not saying that the conversation should not happen, because a lot of people are saying, let's wait, the victims aren't, the bodies aren't even cold yet. A lot of people do say that, and I do think that there is a conversation to be had. Yeah. But what is happening is you have a lot of people who are in an emotional state, understandably, that are pushing for this without any evidence or any actual policies to push. They said, we just need to stop this. And
well,
that's all
we
that
can stop
said.
Selling bump stocks. We can stop selling semi-automatic or certainly automatic weapons, as opposed to a hunting rifle, as opposed to a pistol that can get off 5 shots if you're being if you're afraid of something, mm-hmm. versus something where you can kill 17 people in 3 minutes.
Sure. And there are a lot of things that I do. I own an AR-15. I do.
Oh, you own an
yes.
AR-15
yes,
rifle. How old are you?
I'm 18. Or 19. Sorry.
So you cannot drink. Yeah, technically. I mean, maybe you did. But you're not allowed to drink until you're mm-hmm. 21, right? Mm-hmm. You cannot rent a car.
Yeah.
But you have something that can get off how many shots? 10, 20?
It's a 30-round capacity magazine in most cases. I don't exactly know the fire rate off the top of my head.
So, if there are police watching, his name is Trevor.
It's not currently in my possession, but it is under my name at my parents' house in Las Vegas.
So on your 18th birthday, you bought this gun?
Well, it was my dad's beforehand, and it was more of a hand-me-down sort of thing.
Okay.
Oh. And we do defensive firearm courses all the time. There's a place in Nevada called Front Sight where they teach you how to be safe with the weapon, and they teach you defensive firearm situations if you're ever in the case of an active shooter and you are carrying in these situations. And so it's very safe and very respectful, and it's very educational about how to act in those situations.
But where on earth would you be carrying? And let's say you're taking classes, you're going to a concert, you're going somewhere, and you want to protect yourself, and mm-hmm. God forbid there's a crazy person with a weapon worse than you, but you're not going to be carrying an AR-15 around.
Absolutely not. But that's why AR-15s you can buy at 18, and then you can't buy handguns until you're 21, because handguns are concealable, and therefore, technically, if you look at the numbers, more shootings are caused by firearms.
Not to give you
handguns.
Any ideas, but you could carry a guitar case.
You could. You're very good people. You can be creative, but in most circumstances, you will know if someone is carrying an AR-15. And you don't typically see people carrying AR-15s.
Well, yeah, I mean
it would be openly, quite noticeable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just, why do you feel the need? I mean, I know it was a hand-me-down, but mm-hmm. why would you feel the need to have a gun like that as opposed to a pistol for protection or a rifle for sport? I mean,
sure.
a one-shot reload.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. AR-15s are actually the most popular hunting firearms in America.
Mm.
They are. They are very good hunting firearms. The .223/556 are very good for killing an animal instantly, so they don't feel pain for hunting.
Okay. Wait, why would another gun not be as good as that?
Well, the style of an AR-15 is very, it's a very comfortable weapon to use. It's very user friendly. It is.
Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah. Well, it.
Well, it means idiots can use them. it means it's designed for people who aren't smart like us. Or you, anyway.
Well, you still have to have some sort of semblance of how to run the weapon and the firing system and be efficient with it. And I've taken 2 courses on it, and I still wouldn't consider myself an expert. There are people who are, fantastic on how to hold it and what to do with it. And
was it one of these where it has, like a tripod thing, where you put it down on your arm and you got the scope like that, and you fire? I'm doing this on the on the.
Well,
Facebook computer here. But
well,
yeah.
you have the stock and usually the toe. I mean, there are techniques where you have the stock and it kind of it's a barrel or not barrel, but it's a tube and then it has a butt pad. So
I've got one of those. Yeah. Ever since my hemorrhoids. Yeah.
But it sits up against your shoulder and then it goes in, and then you have the lower and then the receiver. The lower has the grip, the pistol grip with the trigger, uh-huh. and it has the mag well where you put the magazine in.
Oh,
and then
okay.
you have the rail where you put the the scope or any optic that you want.
Jesus.
And, you have your barrel where the, what's it called now?
I have no idea. Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria.
I
know nothing about guns, honestly. Nothing, and I'm not anti-gun.
No.
If North Korea attacks us and they start wanting to quarter their soldiers. And, you know, Koreans are very small, so they could fit like 50 people into an apartment.
Sure.
And then they can say, oh, we want to stay with you. And you know.
And this may sound crazy, and I probably am crazy for thinking of this, but probably, I do believe, and the Second Amendment is a part, half of the Second Amendment is a well-regulated militia. And I do think that there is a possibility for some sort of tyranny to rise in the United States in the next 50 years.
Next 50 years? We have it right now. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I do honestly think that a possibility of something like that could happen. And so
50 years, who knew in 1901 that Germany would become
Nazi Germany.
Yes, who knew that the Russia under the Czars would suddenly become what Russia became? So I, unlike other people, I would go with you and say you never 100% know what can happen in a country in a matter of a decade.
Sure.
So that is why I really do think, you know, now granted, if some North Koreans came to my door and said, we want to quarter barrack our soldiers here, and if I had an AR-15, problem is by the time I open the door, they're pointing their AR-27s at me, or whatever, a higher level. And it doesn't really help me anyway. Mm-hmm. If I go reaching for my AR-15, my brains are going to be splattered all over the microwave. So
yeah, and I mean, there are other ways that you could handle that situation, but people use the argument, you know, even if the government were to become tyrannical or there were an outside sort of power, you know, you wouldn't be able to do anything where you're just a person and stuff like that. But, I mean, you have multiple accounts across history where guerrilla warfare has won out. I mean, our own country was built on it, on guerrilla warfare. Yeah. And we lost basically in Vietnam and Afghanistan, where we just had massive death tolls when we were the greatest military on earth.
Absolutely true.
So, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say, I mean, in the case of private ownership, you know, bump stocks, I will concede that ground. I don't think that you really need a bump stock.
But even a 30-round magazine, you're okay, as opposed to, like, 5 rounds.
Yeah, no. In a firefight, and they teach you this, the loudest sound on the battlefield is a click. And the click happens when you have no more bullets.
Oh, well.
So yeah. I do think that, and, I mean, in that moment, you're probably going to be frantic. So you're not going to sit and aim and focus and land your shots. You're going to be all over the place.
Right.
And so I do believe that you do need that extra capacity.
Yeah, but again, you're talking about a firefight. Most people, unlike you and to some extent me, don't necessarily believe that you know, a demagogue tyranny police state is coming to America so quick.
Sure.
So for them, is there a reason that you can give to have that kind of capacity, that kind of, or even what about banning automatic weapons as opposed to semi-automatic weapons?
Automatic,
where you at least have to pull a trigger.
Automatic weapons have been banned since 1982. You can still get them, but they cannot be made post-1982. And it does take a lot of money and a lot of time.
You mean like a guy who gambles a lot in Vegas can maybe get one?
Well, those were illegally modified to become with bump stocks.
Yeah.
You can buy weapons and you can modify weapons and you can buy weapon modifications absolutely illegally. And so from my knowledge, that was what happened in Las Vegas. And, I mean, I'm from Las Vegas. I know people that died.
Right, wow.
So, I mean, it hit home. Las Vegas is not as big as people think. It is.
Oh, size. Yeah.
And
yeah,
the
yeah.
population. Like, everyone knows everyone. So I did know people that died there. And so it did strike home, but I still stand by.
Now, let's say all those people at the concert had guns, some kind of gun. There were a lot of people, everybody.
Sure.
What could they have done?
Nothing.
What would the guns have done for them?
Unfortunately, nothing.
Right.
And so this was the one circumstance, a very unfortunate circumstance, where private gun ownership did not help. And I will concede that ground, that this was just an unfortunate situation.
So but what
situation.
About then making sure that someone like that Vegas, I forget his name.
Sure.
Make sure that he can't buy, as you said, bump stocks or things that turn a regular gun into. Now, granted, he could have bought with his money 100 pistols, and just kept boom. You know,
My problem with this is what would you have, you know, what would you do?
What would you do? Well, again, he didn't need to have the weapon he was firing. As I'm saying, he could have killed 5, 10. Maybe people by the time somebody got to him, if he just had a regular Luger, I don't know guns, but some carry pistol thing.
Yeah.
A couple of shots on it, and then he got to get another gun or reload. And as opposed to just bam, 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 bam. You know, how many did he wound? He wounded 450 people.
It was crazy. And that's why, with this situation, I don't think that there is a piece of gun control short of an outright gun ban across the United States that could have stopped this. This particular incident.
Right.
The Las Vegas incident, I don't think that there's anything you could have done. I think he would have found a way to kill that many people or somewhere near that kind of people.
If he couldn't get his hands on the weapon that he had his hands on, or the bump stocks that he added to it.
I think if he really wants to, if you really want to, you can illegally get a firearm. It is possible.
Yeah. And yeah, if you have heroin, I could get it tomorrow, I guess.
If you have the motivation, you can illegally purchase a firearm and do damage with it. It is a weapon that does cause destruction, and you have to respect it with the respect that it deserves. And you can't, it's not a toy. And from a young age, my dad, never taught me, don't put your finger on the trigger until you're ready to fire. Until you have your sight, and it's not a person, obviously.
Oh, good.
I didn't shoot anyone.
You have a good dad.
Yeah.
But here's my last question for you. I know I put you on the spot with a bunch of things because it's live radio. That's what I do.
I did see your song yesterday on Facebook, and I'm like, this is probably going to come up.
Well, were you the one who complained about it on Facebook?
No,
who said shame on you for doing satire. How dare you? What was I going to ask? Oh, you are a smart, intelligent, reasonable young person with this gun and a couple of other guns.
Sure.
Okay. What happens, though, if, let's say, you actually do go crazy? I mean, you make a joke about you're being crazy now. But let's say 15 years down the line, you or your dad loses it. Mm-hmm. You lose your heads. You still have those weapons.
Yes.
What then?
Well, there would be records of me purchasing firearms. Sure, right?
Yeah, well,
yes,
well,
there would be records
if
of me doing
legally,
back
yes.
if I bought them legally, which I intend on doing.
Right, yeah. Well, are you going to buy more guns? Isn't your AR-15 and your carry pistol? You can't have a carry pistol yet.
Not yet.
But you have a couple of others. You have a rifle, a shotgun?
Me and my dad are currently building a Colt 1911, which is a handgun.
What do you mean you're building it?
We're buying the parts and assembling it.
Okay.
Which is legal. You can do that.
Okay.
It is legal. You can buy the parts and modification that you want and assemble it. And ever since I was a kid, the Colt 1911 has been just my favorite gun aesthetically. And
The other thing is, if you ever do anything, this video
it'll be totally incriminating.
Yeah. I will send this to the police department just having their files.
You can trust me because I'm giving a lot out here.
But again, now you are a trustworthy person.
Mm-hmm.
What if you lose your shit?
Well, I would say that hopefully there would be signs that, and obviously you can't know the specifics of the circumstance, but there would be records of me purchasing firearms, and maybe there would be records of me getting a lot of speeding tickets, or me beating my wife, or me
beating
my children,
actually,
or me going to the bar and getting drunk and publicly urinating. Just a lot of signs where
that
there's not
animals.
Something right with me, and I should not be in possession of these firearms. And I hope that we have a system.
Hmm.
Well, we do have a system where those should be red flags.
So it's almost like the old, if you see something, say something on 9/11.
Yes.
If somebody's who was normal.
If you know someone that has a firearm and they're beating their wife, they're beating their kids, they're getting ridiculously drunk a lot, you should say something.
No.
So that these things don't happen.
All I'm saying, Trevor, is that, you're here. You might be getting involved with a dying radio station at a crappy university. So I think the mental illness is beginning already, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm here, so.
Well, I absolutely welcome. And first of all, even though we're not that far apart on the issues, really.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more left. I'm certainly more left than you in a lot of ways. But I'm more left on the gun issue, but not as left as other people.
Sure.
And I agree with you on certain things. And you're certainly very well-spoken and reasonable in the things that you're saying, and knowledgeable.
Yeah. I can say all these
anti-gun things, and then I ask you about guns, and you know how to put them together. What parts of a gun are there? What are the laws? Mm-hmm. You know that stuff in a way that a lot of the people who are against these things are more knee-jerk, like, no, I just don't like guns.
I do think that a lot of the conversation that is being had between gun owners and the people who just don't know a lot about guns. It is a lot, because if you buy a gun, if you have bought a gun, and I follow a YouTuber who says, you know, buy someone a gun. They have to do the paperwork, and they'll see that you can't just walk in anywhere and buy a gun.
Wait. I can't walk into Walmart and buy a shotgun?
You have to do the paperwork, and you have to get background checks.
Even for a shotgun? Even
absolutely.
I'm not talking about
any
concealed carry.
Any firearm that you can buy. Obviously, you can buy BB guns, airsoft guns, pellet guns, all that stuff. You don't need a background check.
But for a
weapon that fires anything short of a – or anything more than a .22 caliber, LR.
More than a .22?
Yes.
Well, so a .22 is already in paperwork.
.22 is literally this long.
Yeah.
And it – I mean, I have a friend that has that the bullet ricocheted off a piece of metal, hit him in the knee. It doesn't do that much damage. So
good.
Anything,
yeah, how no, the, is, where was he aiming that he shot himself in
again,
the knee by
accident?
Again,
there are a lot of stupid people who should not have guns. Trust
this
me.
This is a friend of yours, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Who has a gun? Did you report?
Well, he doesn't have it. It was with his family in Wisconsin, and they were firing at something, and since the bullet, you should not be firing at metal if you are firing anything less than a .45 caliber.
Okay.
So you should not be firing at metal if you have anything less than that. .223, .556, .308, those will punch through it, okay, or at least crumple up and die.
Yeah.
But anything short of a .45 caliber, if you fire at metal, it will ricochet. So that was stupid on their part.
But it must have lost a lot of velocity by the time it got him in the knee.
Absolutely. It only grazed his knee, and he just bled a little bit. So it didn't do any lasting damage.
Good.
So anything more than a .22 LR, from my experience, there probably are places where it would be very rare, in my knowledge and my experience, that you could get a weapon like that without a background check.
Oh, okay. But again, okay, you do a background check, which takes, what, 72 hours a week? What is it?
What is it now? I don't have the number off the top of my head. I don't.
Okay.
So I'm not going to guess.
But,
you
know, if I were to go into Walmart and I wanted to buy a gun, I have to fill out some paperwork.
And you have to do
and then
check.
I would get a phone call saying, paperwork's done, you're good.
Mm-hmm.
Come in and get your...
Yep.
Could I buy an AR-15 at Walmart?
I don't think they have AR-15s at Walmart.
Okay. Or what's the other one? The tech something?
I know they have... I think I've seen them at Big Five Sporting Goods.
Really?
Which is interesting. I do believe that, you know, guns business should be done in the hands of, you know, people who own guns.
Oh, that's right.
Stores.
What about these gun shows where people can get... Do you have the same paperwork?
From my experience, absolutely.
Oh, okay,
I've seen multiple videos, and I've seen multiple podcasts, and I've just seen multiple articles absolutely 100% debunking the gun show, quote-unquote gun show loophole. I've had my dad. I went to the Tanner Gun Show here in Colorado a couple years ago. My dad bought a firearm for my mom, a concealed carry firearm for my mom, and we absolutely did fill out the paperwork.
I am so not messing with your family, I'll tell you that.
No, do not go to my house. It is not good there.
Yeah.
That's also my friends always say, you know, if there's a zombie apocalypse, we're going to Trevor's house.
See, well, I have a pair of nunchucks. That's about all I've got.
You know what? You're safe.
Anyway, Trevor Okeson, it is a pleasure to meet you. It's a pleasure to have you in the neighborhood. And perhaps, we've got some stuff to think about, perhaps a pleasure to have you as part of UNC Radio going forward. We'll see what happens. But, you know, best wishes to you. Best wishes to your well-armed militia. Do you have the basement with the canned food that'll last 25 years?
No, don't
the
have
The masks?
That. Don't have that.
No? Are you working
guns.
Towards it?
No. I do think that you should be prepared in the event of a disaster, because you never know when something like an earthquake or a tornado can happen, or even a blizzard. So it is not a bad idea to have some sort of rations. It's always
I have a blow up hooker doll just in case.
Always.
Yeah. Anyway, Trevor, a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you.
And we are actually let's play this. So this here's a little song in your honor, and we welcome you as a new friend of the neighborhood.